Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
This morning, I want us to laugh. So we're going to laugh. I'm going to try and tell a joke, and you must laugh, even if you have heard the joke. I love my church. That's why it's good to preach in your church. See how you have my back already. Anyways, this joke, I stole it from one preacher that I love a lot. But let me tell you the story. It's a true story. So there was a wife, and she had a dream. And then she told her husband, "Honey, I had a dream. In that dream, it was my birthday, and you bought me necklaces, bracelets, earrings." She's like, "I don't even know. What do you think?" Yeah? That's how we roll, right? Good. And so she goes, she's looking at him like, you know, "Do you have anything coming up?" And he's like, "Just wait and see. Just wait for your birthday to come." And lo and behold, her birthday comes, and what happens? Of course she gets a package. Who would not do that? And she opens it, and she sees in there a book, How to Interpret Your Dreams. Thank you for laughing. And of course, we know the story behind that, but it's not a marriage lesson today, so we'll focus on that. But I thought we'd laugh in the face of Satan this morning, and I'm happy we did that. Because as we were praying, it was like they were praying the preach, honestly, so powerfully from, I mean, every prayer. I almost wanted to say, "Karen, do you have a script there? Just share it with me, really." And the same thing to my sister over there. Now her name is Sister Rhoda, isn't it? And I just thought, wow, these prayers are just spot on, back to back, you know, and even the songs. And I just thought, God is here. And I wanted us to just laugh and say glory to God, because he was already doing the work even before the preach. And all glory to him. So, Father, even in that vein, we come before you and we just say, speak to us even some more. Do what you're already doing. Perfect it. Touch our hearts and our lives. And keep moving us, oh God, in the direction of your purpose. Today and always, oh God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, how many of us have had dreams? Let me just see you, hon. I want to see the dreamers in church. Karen, have a quick look, yeah? So that you know all of them. I know. And a lot of us dream. And it's something that God does, isn't it? Some of us don't dream, and it's fine. You know, some of us have had words of prophecy. You remember? Someone has given you a word. Somebody has prayed over you and said, "This is what the Lord put in my heart for you." Some of us have had words of revelation. Some of us have had visions. Some of us are even more vivid. We're like daylight, and you can see stuff. Really good. And some of us can actually just say, "I sit with the word and I hear God speaking to me." The beautiful thing about it is somehow we all hear God. But you see, the thing about dreams that I love, and maybe not love, even as a dreamer myself, is how it can be exciting, isn't it? Who knows that? You have a dream and you're like, "Oof, it's going to be good tomorrow. I'm going to be living life, isn't it?" Tomorrow, are you living life? And you could almost see it, isn't it? You're like, "It's gonna." But if you've walked with God long enough, you realize something, that God is the God of the journey. As much as he wants to show you and bring to pass that real picture, that picture you've seen, he wants to walk with you through it. He's very big on it. And most of the things that he shows us, they are not for now. A lot of times, they point to the future. And not to make us feel important, you know, like, "Oh, that stuff's in the future." But to give us a glimpse of what he intends to do. But I feel like here is where some of us get it wrong, myself inclusive. When God speaks, we celebrate the promise. We sometimes don't ask the right questions. We're always probably asking, "When will this happen?" Or even, "How will it happen?" But I feel like a better question that even I picked from preparing this is, what does this require of me? What would this ask of me? Who do I need to become? Because whenever God reveals a purpose, there is always a process attached to it. Make a note of that. There is always a working in us before there is a working through us. Meaning God is working first in me, in you, even as he seeks to bring to pass what he has shown you, but before he does that. And so we'll see that. I mean, we don't have time because, you know, we have to go home. But we'll see that across the Bible, many stories. It was easy for me to point it out, you know. Literally, see, Joshua said to him, you have to be strong and courageous. This is what's ahead, and this is what I want to do with you and through you. Even Gideon, who was busy being a farmer or whatever, says to him, look, mighty man of warrior. So there is a walking in that happens because of what God wants to walk through us, isn't it? Yes. And so we're still in that series, you know, the greatest story. And because we're still there, we're now going to look today at the process of God's purposes. The process of God's purposes. The moment I got this title, this topic, and please shout out to our pastor, who obviously probably is in transit or back from, you know, the mission. We trust the Lord that he has gone with them and brought them back safe. When I got here, I thought to myself, there's something here that we can sit with that is not just a regular. We know, some of us know the story of Joseph, but we will see something even deeper today by the grace of God. And so this is what we see in his life. We see that God, you know, has purposes. God gave him a dream. We see that, but everything that followed looked nothing like that dream. And so the question is, was the dream wrong? Or was God walking through a process? What does that look like? And so we'll see that today. And so quickly, we're going to read scripture. We have a lot of scripture. Imagine that. Let me go back there. You see that I have about, I don't know how many, maybe 13 chapters in between there, but we're going to do something good today. I trust the Holy Spirit. So Genesis 37, 1 to 11. If you have your Bible open quickly, if not, I've got it right there for you. We're going to read it together. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, his sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had made a special gift for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. And we see that quickly, the fact that Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. And we will talk about his dream in a bit. Verse 7 says, in that dream, we were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again his brothers, and he told his brothers about it again. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars, they bowed low before me. This time, he told the dream to his father as well as his brothers, but his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. We see clearly three things I'm going to show you today in this, you know, story. A story of a man, Joseph. We see that in the journey and the process of God's purpose, we see that God speaks his purpose. I feel like that's the beginning. And sometimes we may think, oh, but I don't have any word that's been spoken. There's actually a lot of word in the Bible. I brought my physical Bible for a reason. There's a lot of word spoken to you already in the Bible, a lot of promises. A lot of what that is for you, for me. So the beginning, actually, of a believer's journey and the purpose of God, and even an unbeliever, a lot of times, there's a word somewhere hanging, floating over them. That is what it is. It's one of the things I like that Ephesians 2:10 for. You can write it down and read it again. It's the word for all of us, you know, that we will live the predestined purposes of God for our lives. There is a word. There is a plan. There is a purpose. So God speaks that purpose. And in Joseph's own, you know, story, his story begins with a word from God. He was 17. Pay attention to the timeline. We will need it later. And so imagine that he didn't create this. God revealed it to him. But let's be honest. There's something I say about Joseph I want to pull out quickly. Everyone, please, let's listen to it. I feel that whilst God revealed the purpose to Joseph, Joseph could have been better with how he handled that dream. No. Because I come from Africa, from an African family, let my words come out. I need to say it. How can you be the 11th child? No, Atilio, you wouldn't do that even in, will you do that in Italy? No. And you're telling your father, your mother, you're at the table, you know? And you're telling your brothers, all older than you, who are probably bigger in stature. And you're like, I had a dream. So I feel like there was something there, a bit of youthful pride. And he already had stuff against him. His father liked him above all others. And his father did not hide it. So there's a bit of discretion. You know, God has shown me stuff. Do I always have to shout and talk about it? Maybe not. Maybe keep it in your womb. That's what I saw with Mary, you know. God showed her stuff as well. She kept it. But, and I looked at it and I said, there's youthful pride. There's immaturity. And I felt like those highlighted his imperfections already. I even saw a talebearer. You remember what verse 2 said? Verse 2 was telling us that he tells his father what his brothers are doing. Like, this guy, you would need to grow up a bit. Yeah, so I saw all of that. And I wanted to paint that picture so that we have that somewhere as well. Keep it, we'll come back to it. But you know what? Joseph's imperfection did not cancel God's purpose, did not even cancel him from hearing God's purpose. He didn't. And sometimes, even though we are even unaware, sometimes we are not aware, and it's okay. I want you to be okay with that. Our imperfection does not cancel his plans. God's purpose is revealed in a moment, but somehow what I see in this story is that it is fulfilled through a process. That dream Joseph had, or those dreams he had, they were not about his ego. And maybe that's a memo to some of us who dream as well. It's not about your ego. It's always about God's plan, God's purpose. And in this one, it was God's plan to preserve a people and to move his redemptive story forward. So what happens to Joseph? So we have seen the first point, isn't it? What's the first point? God speaks his purpose. Do we agree now? Yes, we agree. Yeah, we agree. The second point is that what then happens to Joseph creates tension, because after this dream, everything else began to fall apart. Everything. I mean, everything. And I'm sure some of us were probably here, and I love how those prayers were going, and I was like, okay, I can feel what God is doing in the room. There is an echo of what God wants to say with this preach today already in the prayers. So let me tell you what happened from Genesis chapter 37, you know, from verse 24. The Bible says that his brothers, who were full of jealousy, envy, hatred, think of all those things that the human mind normally would think about when the Spirit of God is not at work. And they decided, we're going to get rid of this guy. We need to kill him. His brothers. But then the plan was halted by one of his brothers who said, you know what, please put him in the pit. Don't kill him. So they didn't kill him. They put him in the pit. But somehow they progressed the plan and they sold him into slavery. Now, think about that pit. Think about being put in a pit. Because I want us to just sort of process that a little bit. You know, that pit looks like rejection. It looks like being cast out. It looks like segregation sometimes at work. Think about whatever that looks like for you. It looks like confusion. It looks like loss of control. Like this, I can't even help myself. And then he's sold into slavery. Come and go and be a slave. this is a favorite child, has a robe, the most expensive designer jacket. How many of you have that from your dad or your mom? You know, maybe I wish, you know, but you get what I mean. He had something to show that I am from a wealthy family. My father loves me, but somehow he was stripped of everything, dumped in that pit, and then sent off to go and be a slave. He went to be a slave in Egypt. He got there, and he began to serve in Potiphar's house, who was the head of the guard for the king. And he was serving so well that, you see, Joseph was promoted. And they said, go and be the head of everyone in this house. You know, he was serving faithfully. And then somehow we see Mrs. Potiphar cannot keep her eye off God's son. And what happens? She begins to tempt him every day. I never knew until this preach, and I'll be open with you, that he was going after him every day. No. That's a lot of temptation, but maybe today is not the preach on temptation. But she was, every day, a young man. And you know that woman was very rich. I can imagine the lovely scent, perfume, and you know the way she's looking. She doesn't have a job, quote unquote. She's enjoying all the money, you know, so she must be looking really good. Anyway, our Joseph did not fall for it. I'm good to announce, you know, very happy to announce that. He didn't fall for it. So Pitt to Potiphar's house was doing well, was made a leader, you know, to take charge of the house. And then he was tempted, and the Bible says he ran away even when the woman tried to, you know, pull him into the room. That he ran away. But do you know what happened? She still lied against him, and Joseph ended up in prison for what he did not do. How bad can it get? Pete, prison, like really? After hearing a word from the Lord? And is that not how we feel sometimes? Is that not what it looks like sometimes? Where it feels like, this is not looking like what I saw. What's going on with me? God, where are you? God, what are you doing? Did you really speak? You know how he said, did you really say? Oh, but God does speak. And God is faithful. But let me show you something. In the pit, God was training Joseph. And the teacher that I am, I want to ask you, what training do you think could have happened to Joseph in the pit? Shout it out if you know it. It's one thing was happening in that pit. Remember what I said the pit represents? Loss of control. He couldn't climb out. You know those, they had some funny dungeon kind of pit, you know? So what do you think God would have been teaching him in that moment? Trust. Trust. Dependence on him. Complete dependence on God. Like, God, it's only you. In Nigeria, we say, God, I beg, meaning God, please, you are all that I've got. That's something he was learning. Now, in Potiphar's house, what do you think God was doing with him? Who can tell me? God was doing something. What? Say that. Testing him. Yes, testing character. Testing if he's going to be faithful, right? If he's going to fall under. But there's something else again. What else? There's something else. You remember what I said happened to him in Potiphar's house? I mean, a slave who then all of a sudden became who? A leader. God was training him, preparing him for leadership. But you see what's happening? The process of God's purpose actually looks like what? It looks like he speaks the purpose. It shows you what is to come. A lot of times you don't know what is going to happen in between it. But he uses that process, that journey, to begin to work on us, even though God did not offer what happened to Joseph. I thought it would be clear to say that. He did not offer all of what his brothers did, but God permitted it, and God did what? God used it for him. Used it as material to get him to the journey. Don't miss that. And I hope that that speaks to you when you think about what you're going through, and think about how he's so far from what you have seen and believed, but just know that God is working through it. And so we see clearly that yes, God speaks his purpose, But it also shapes us through the process. Let me tell you another thing that happened to that guy in the prison. They said he got to the prison and he still became a leader in the prison. The head of the prison said, just take charge of all the prisoners. I don't understand. I'm a prisoner. I should take charge of all the prisoners. But that's what happens when the hand of God is upon you, even though it doesn't look like it. Is the hand of God upon you? The hand of God is upon me. The hand of God is upon us, his children. And so he became the leader again there. Something about that guy that fascinates me is the fact that this guy did not, you know, he didn't leave all of this. I don't know if he was feeling hopeless and dejected. I'm sure that maybe he would have had his moments. But somehow the Bible still allows us to see a man who, even at the lowest in the valley, like we were saying in the prayers, isn't it? This man was still trying to be who God has called him to be. Do you know, my people, that I saw another training in the prison? I want to tell you something about that prison as well. When I was researching, they said the prison in those days, they were not like UK prisons, oh. Just so we are clear. They were like dungeons, like dark, nothing. And then the Bible now tells me that Joseph saw the butler of the king. So the king's butler had been put in prison. The king's cupbearer had been put in prison. I'm rushing through a lot of chapters, but I hope you're guessing the story. And they were now there, but somehow Joseph noticed them and said, "Why are you looking sad today?" And that statement, it was like the Holy Spirit was showing me that Joseph was taking note of their looks every day. Someone who has an issue with God. I mean, quote and unquote, isn't it? Like, literally. Let's be clear, and just so you know that this is already counting about 10 years, so that you know. This is 10 years. If he had ever had a hope that his father would come and look for him, I'm sure that by that time, that hope was gone. So this man was showing up strong for others. He was selfless enough to see the butler and the cupbearer. And those ones quickly said what? We had dreams. We don't know what it means. We're so confused by it. And we have no one to interpret. God bless those who interpret dreams. Because he provides clarity. So he said, tell me the dream. They told him. He told them the meaning. They were happy. And somehow the dreams came to pass. And the butler was sent back to go and serve the king. Meanwhile, Joseph had told him, when you go back, because this is what your dream is saying, that you're going to go back, please remember me. You know what I saw? Apart from seeing that God was training Joseph in selflessness, and he was really growing in that, I also saw humility had come upon Joseph. Remember Joseph, the immature one? The one who was, you know, he was not the one saying, remember me. It's what humility does, isn't it? But it's good. He was going to need it. So, what happens again? Who can guess? How many of you think the breakthrough has come? No. That butler went to the palace, enjoyed life, forgot Joseph. Ah, oh, exactly. But again, Joseph was there. But somehow, one day, suddenly, the king had a dream. And the king said to them, who knows, who can tell? That butler, all of a sudden, boom, I remember someone, I know someone. The day of destiny, the day that what God spoke about was drawing closer for Joseph, just like the day of what God spoke about you and I is drawing closer. Yes, it is. It may not look like it. Joseph was still in the dungeon, isn't it? Dressed up in whatever, only God knows what he had to eat that day, but somehow they sent for Joseph. Three things I'm telling you today. Number one, God speaks his purpose. Number two, God shapes through his purpose. And so whether what we are going through today, you know, maybe it looks like a shaping. Before I rush on to number three, I feel like I must be saying, don't forget to say it. Ask them that question. Go home with it. What is God trying to shape in you in this moment? Sometimes it looks like God says, I will give you a son. Or you will have three children. But then it starts with maybe a few years of not having children, isn't it? And you're like, ah, but God, you gave me three names. I already have three names. But God is very keen on giving you those three children, but he's also keen on taking you on a journey that solidifies your relationship, makes you look up to him, grows you, so that when the kids come, you even know what to do with them. He's very big on it. So, what happened to Joseph? They sent for him. The story is long. The long and short is, he interprets the king's dream, tells the king what he means, and the king said, I don't even know who is going to fulfill this dream or help me with this dream, because you have told me that there's going to be 7 years of hunger and 7 years of a lot, and you're telling me that, okay, the years of a lot, we should save up for the 7 years of hunger. So who's going to do it? Who's got the brain? Except the one who has interpreted it. So you better get yourself there and do it. Lo and behold, Joseph moves from prisoner to prime minister in one day. I'm telling you, hallelujah. See, that journey took what? 10 years? More than 10 years. And some of us have not waited 1 year for the thing that the Lord has said, and we are losing faith. And I don't say that to, you know, Moki. I'm like that too. I'm like, God, what's going on here? I thought it would just be like this. I'm your child, you know, I'm getting it done. You know, and like, I'm still doing it. 10 years plus. Because the Bible tells us that when Joseph got on that throne, on the role of prime minister, he was 30. Yeah. 1730. That's a journey, isn't it? And that's what God wants to do with us. Are you going to trust him through the process? Are you going to let him do what he wants to do with you? Trust him. Know that he's got your back. He's with you. Like Rhoda was saying this morning, he's with you. So he becomes prime minister. Now he needs to rush. He becomes prime minister. The hunger is happening a lot. So he's now done 7 years. So add seven to maybe we have 20 years in the pocket now. And so 7 years of food and having a lot has gone by. Now it's now 7 years of hunger. And so even his brothers and his father, they are now feeling the heat of the hunger. And they are now looking for food. Guess where they are now coming to? Guess now. Joseph in Egypt. So the father says, go and John, see what you can. They did not know he was the one there. And so they went. Long story, very short. They got there. So who are these people anyway? They bowed before him. Who remembers the dream? You were all what? They did. And then he says, oh, go and bring your brother. Anyway, long story, the father, everybody came. They bowed. Did you see that? God securing his purpose. God making sure that his word does not fall to the ground. Like the word he has come to tell you this morning is not going to fall to the ground. That he's with you and he's going to do with you and through you what he has destined to do from before time began. And so shall it be. Even as a church, that he will do to River Church, through River Church, what he has destined to do in this land and even beyond by the grace of God. God secures his purpose. So, you know, in Psalm 105, verse 17 to 19, the Bible speaks about, you know, David was speaking about Joseph. He said, God sent a man before them, Joseph. He said, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Till the word of the Lord proved him true. Another one said, tested him. May we all pass our test in the name of Jesus. May the word prove us true in the name of Jesus. And so we clearly see that God fulfills his word. He says it. The Bible says in Acts 7, 9 to 16, you know, that when the apostles were talking about Joseph, the apostles were talking about him. It was a big deal. And the Bible says the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. This morning, I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to tell them, like you know, because you have heard this sermon today, that God is with you. No, some people are not even talking. They are not convinced enough. Okay, fine. Tell the next neighbor, in case they don't want to tell you well. You tell the next neighbor well, please. Tell with conviction. I'm telling you, and we must never forget it. Life can make us want to forget it. The news even can make us, but no, he is with us. Now tell yourself, God is with me. God is with me. That's what the word was telling us. And so I want to wrap this up quickly by saying that everything comes together. Joseph is remembered and all of that happened. In fact, Joseph said to his brothers, by the time they realized he was the one, because they were now feeling, of course, very bad, and they thought he was going to have their head, but he didn't. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, you know, he said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. That's what Joseph said. Joseph had seen that this was beyond you guys. And this is how I want you to know that whatever it is, it's beyond us. God is in it. God is with us. There were two intentions. They wanted to ruin him, but God had one outcome. I'm going to bring to pass my purpose. God always wins. He always wins. And this is the word of the Lord today. God does not waste anything. He weaves everything. Romans 8:28 says something powerful. It says, in all things, what? Who knows that verse? Romans 8:28. We know, thank you, slide guys, thank you. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose for them. Amen, sis, amen. Did you see everything? Another version says, all things, not some things. Even those things that have been done wrongly, God will use them as ingredients to do what he wants to do for you. He will. He will do it for me. He will do it for you. So we already see that this was not about Joseph. Just like all of what God wants to do with you, even though he will do it through you, is not about you. We see that already. We see that it was about God positioning him to save lives, to preserve a people, and to protect the covenant line. The journey must continue. Remember all of what we've been learning about from Abraham? The journey must continue. And you see, the truth about this is, it was all about God's salvation plan. So what do we see here? We see God reveals his purpose. God walks through a process. God secures what he promised. This dream was real. The process was painful, but the purpose was never lost. And this is not just about Joseph's story. Yeah. This is the story of Scripture. And it is fulfilled in Jesus. Luke 24:26 says, did not the Messiah have to suffer and then enter the glory? There is another scripture that speaks of Jesus Christ and said, even though he was the Son of God, he learned obedience through suffering. Yeah, yeah. So we can trust God. Let me leave you with the word of God in Job chapter 42, verse 2. I want to beg the worship team to come up. And we'll take a song, you know, just really singing out what we believe this morning. But in Job 42, verse 2, I will just tell you what he said. He said, I know. Oh, I don't have it. Maybe I don't have it on the slide. But Job 42 verse 2 says, I know that you can do all things. He was talking to God and he said, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Meaning that no purpose of God can be destroyed, aborted. No. And that's the word I'm leaving you with this morning. If God spoke it, he will fulfill it. You stay in line. He will do it. Not outside the process. He will do it through the process. The same God who speaks his promise also shapes you through the process and secures the outcome. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. God bless you, church.